Okay, well, I would like for you to please turn to Genesis chapter 27. I thought this morning we'd read the entire Bible, beginning and ending. No. All right, well, we're going to look at a couple uses here of the word yoke or yoked. A yoke is it's an implement by which animals are yoked together or made to work together, attached to one another. That's literally what a yoke is. In God's word, it's used that way when Elisha cast his mantle on Elijah. Elijah was plowing with 12 oxen that were yoked together. Must have been a pretty strong man. But anyway, but really the majority of the times it's used, it is used figuratively. Okay? And it is used figuratively to indicate service. And so we're going to look at just a couple uses. Then we're going to go to Isaiah to look at a record. But I wanted to start here in Genesis chapter 27. This is the first place it's actually used, the word yoke. Chapter 27, verse 40. It says, "And by thy sword," this is a prophecy here. Anyway, verse 40, "And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." You see how it's used figuratively there to indicate service? He would serve his brother, but the time would come when that yoke would be broken off. Leviticus chapter 26 is another place. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 26. This is God speaking. And in verse 13, speaking to Israel, he says, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen, their slaves. And I have broken the bands of the yoke and made you go upright." Isn't that something? It's a great mind picture. They were slaves to the Egyptians, but the picture that's being drawn here is that they were bowed over by the weight of this yoke that was upon them. And God says, "I broke the bands of that yoke and made you to stand up straight or to stand upright." Isn't that a neat picture? Because the burden of that service was removed. It's just a neat use of the word or a neat picture. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings is right before 2 Kings. 1 Kings 12. We'll look at one more. We're going to go to Isaiah. First Kings 12. Let's start in verse 7. "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou will be a servant unto this people..." This is, let me set the stage here. This is Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Okay? And what we're beginning with in verse 7 is the counsel or the advice of the old men. Okay? And it's the counsel given to Rehoboam, who is about to be king. Okay? "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But, verse 8, he, meaning Rehoboam, forsook the counsel of the old men. What do those old guys know, right? Which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. Okay? So he rejected the counsel of the old men and sought the counsel of the guys he had grown up with. And he said unto them, what counsel give you that we may answer this people who have spoken unto me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? Okay? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Yeah. So that's the counsel he accepted, to make this yoke and the burden of this yoke even heavier than what his father had done. Rehoboam didn't last too long. But anyway, let's go to Isaiah. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. And there's a record here, great record. Some of you guys are familiar with it. And we're going to start in verse 1 of Isaiah 58. Verse 1 says, cry aloud. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. The word transgression here is rebellion. Okay? It means rebellion. And that's what we're going to see here. It's pretty interesting. Show my people their rebellion, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. Talking about this people. They sought God daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They asked of me the ordinances of justice or of righteousness. They take delight in approaching to God. This is, they dug approaching God. It was great. Verse 3, wherefore have we fasted? Well, why are we doing all of this? Watch this. This is great. Say they, and thou seest not. Look at everything that we're doing for you. Look at everything we're doing for you, God. And you don't see us. That's what they're saying. Isn't that remarkable? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, our lives, and thou takest no knowledge? This word afflict, it means to beat down or to browbeat, to be hard on yourself. That's something. Look at how we beat ourselves down. And you don't hear, you don't see it. Yeah. Behold, this is great. This is God's response. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, verse 4. You fast for strife and for debate. You know what they were doing? They were going to God and they were seeking his help to help win arguments. Yeah. To overcome their enemies, their people that they disagreed with, to win debates, to win arguments, to win points of view. All that they did was about who? It was about them. It was all about them. Me, 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 me. That's what their prayers were. That's what all of this was about. Me, me, me. Behold, or I'm sorry, verse 4 again. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness or lawlessness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. That's right. I'm not going to look to this stuff. I'm not going to answer this stuff. Okay. Verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to beat down his life, his soul, to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? This is what God is about? This is what God wants? Is that what you're saying? Where you do all this stuff? Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands or the bondage or the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. And to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every what? Yeah. Every yoke. See, what they were doing was, is they were burdening themselves in the name of looking good before God, and they were putting that burden on others. Isn't that something? By what they do, see, to look good in front of God. That's what they were doing. And it was bondage. It was heavy. See? And God's saying, that's not what I'm about. Is it not to deal thy bread or your food, to break bread with the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? You see the switch here? Previous, the fast they were doing, the prayers that they were praying, what everything was about who? It was about them. It was about what I do. Look at the switch. Isn't this where it's at? You help feed the hungry. You take care of this guy. Isn't that something? What they were doing is they were putting burdens on these people. See? To be right before God, to look good before God. That's not what God was about at all. When you see the naked, that you cover him. And you hide not yourself from your own flesh, from your own families. You don't even help your families. I'm the righteous one. Isn't that something? You ever seen? You ever hear of such a thing?
No.
Yeah. Then, I know. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall... This is great. I'm sorry. I skipped the verse. Forget thine own flesh. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health or thy healing shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear guard. Isn't that something? Turn the eyes off yourself. Stop doing what you do to look righteous. Stop doing what you do to look like God is with you. Stop putting burdens on people. See, in the name of God, stop doing all these things. Start taking care of other people. Look to other people. Bless and take care of them. See, then the things that you, the righteousness, that self-righteousness that you, my righteousness will be yours. That's something. The glory and the honor that you seek by doing these things by the flesh, I'll take care of that. Only it'll be real. See? Isn't that something? Doing it God's way. And it's with heart. Because that's what God looks at, the heart. Men look at the flesh. Men gauge things. They gain success. They gain failure. They even gauge righteousness. They gauge these things by flesh, by standards that they've set up, that whether God's with you or not with you. There's whole gospels built on this stuff. It's crazy. See? These are just great things to understand. Then, verse 9, this is great. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord will answer. They did. What did this start out with? This started out with, look at everything we're doing. Where are you? You're not taking notice? You're not answering. What's going on here? So here he says, I'll answer then. You'll cry, and he shall say, thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. And that cry is kind of neat. It's a distress. It's like, I need help. And God's answer is, here I am. Isn't that awesome? If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, that weight, that burden, that servitude that you put on people, that heavy weight, the putting forth of the finger, you know what that is? That's accusing. That's what it is. That's what it means, putting forth the finger. You're pointing at this guy. You need to do this. You do this. You this. You this. That's what it means. That's what was going on. And speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. And literally this is, then shall your light rise in the gloom. Isn't that awesome? What? It's just a beautiful picture being drawn here. You know, it's gloomy, it's dark. You know, like, I always think of when I read this, like a dark, rainy night. It's like, it's hard to, the headlights on your car don't even go very far. You know what I mean? And here your light will break forth from the gloom. Isn't that beautiful? Because God's in it. God's in it now. See? And it's so much easier. Isn't it easier to pray to the God and have God answer than to figure out all the things that you need to do to be good enough, pray to God and he doesn't answer? Which one's easier? Yeah. That's a rhetorical question. And the Lord God, verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in, and drought is great droughts. You'll be taken care of. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Isn't that a beautiful picture? See, it's really something. Then God's in it. See, God's in it. When we do it God's way, we're blessed. We're blessed. Now with this in mind, I just want to look at a couple of things here, and we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus Christ dealt with some of these things. I'm sorry, Matthew 6. God's concern is for the heart. That's where he looks. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, Jesus Christ is teaching, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. See. You know, you can picture this, right? And it's these men are fasting and they're just, you know, it shows on their face. They're intense. I'm the busiest man in the world right now. I'm the busiest man in the world for God. Look what I'm doing for God. Look what I'm doing for God. Look. Here, see? That's what they're doing. Isn't that something? And then Jesus Christ says, okay, good. You got your reward. There it is. That's it. Isn't that something? That's your reward. But thou, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that thou appear not unto men, but unto God, unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee what?
Openly.
Isn't that something? Then it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth. See, that's what those hypocrites were doing. All the recognition, the acknowledgement for their great whatever. But God looks at the what? He looks at the heart. He doesn't see like man sees. He just doesn't. It's really something. Now with this in mind, I want you to turn to Luke 18. And then we'll wrap this up. Another one along these lines. Luke 18, verse 9, I believe. Yep. Verse 9. Again, Jesus Christ, and he spake this parable in verse 9, unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. See, that's who he's talking to. Okay? These are men specifically that trust in themselves and see themselves as righteous, and they saw others as less than. They're despised. We're the holy ones. That's who he's talking to. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now, just real quick. The Pharisees, I'm just going to give you a quick background. Pharisees, they were the keepers of the law. They were all about the safeguarding, the protection of the law. That was their founding. They strayed a long way from that. But that's what they claimed. That's who they were. Okay? Now, a publican was the lowest of the law. He was the tax collector. He was sold out to Rome. See? He was a Roman puppet. That's who he was. You got it? That's the picture that's being drawn here. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. That's great, isn't it? You know, I pray, I thank you that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I can't believe this publican standing next to me. I thank you, God, that I'm not like him. I fast twice a week, twice. 8 o'clock on Tuesday, 8:35 on Thursdays. I give tithes of everything I have. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm screwed up. That's something. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified or righteous rather than the other. See, isn't that something? See, God looks at the heart. He rewards humility. That's who he seeks. The humble. Those that don't do it on their own. Those that don't do it by their wits or their smarts or their abilities. That's not what God wants. God looks at the heart. The humble. See? Now, with these things in mind, I want you to look at a record that you're all familiar with. And it's in Luke. Oh, I'm sorry, it's in Matthew. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Okay.
You know what? We're just going to read this because this is some great stuff in here.
Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know, this is, God had showed John that Jesus was the Christ. But you got to understand, he's in prison. He's in prison. And the prisons of those days aren't like today. You know, you don't have TVs and radios and so on. But anyway, he was hearing of all these miracles. He was hearing of all these healings, of all the different things that were happening. So he sent two, probably had come to bring him food, because that's how you were fed when you were in a prison. Hey, this stuff that's going on, ask, is that him? Is that him? Huh. Jesus answered, and he said unto them, You go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. With that statement right there, he was telling John, I am the Christ. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. Isn't that something? John would have instantly known. Yep, it's him. Isn't that awesome? Okay. Look it up sometimes. Kind of neat.
That's awesome.
As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What did you go out to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. But this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. That is from Malachi 3. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence takes it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This was prophesied of in the Old Testament, that Elias would come. And that was John. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, saying, We've piped unto you, and you've not danced. We've mourned unto you, and you haven't lamented. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, he's got a devil. See? There's a picture being drawn here. No matter what we do, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We play music, you don't dance. We mourn, you don't cry. Isn't that something? John, he came neither eating or drinking. You say he's got a devil. Jesus Christ came eating and drinking. You know what they said? He has a devil. It didn't matter. Isn't that something? Anyway. So he began to upbraid, verse 20, the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell or to the grave. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. They would have repented. That's something. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Really something. You know, they accused John. They accused John of having a devil. Jesus Christ comes, the Messiah, the Son of God, doing things that had never been done before. Didn't matter. They rejected him. Isn't that something? Because they had standards. They had standards that weren't God's standards. They had whatever, whatever it was. See? Anyway, at that time, verse 25, Jesus answered and said, and this is just so beautiful, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will what? Reveal him. Isn't that something? Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Serve me. That's something. Serve me. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest out of your lives, out of your souls. You know why? Because my yoke's easy. That's something. My yoke's easy. And that word easy, it means useful. It's gracious. My yoke's easy. And my burden is what?
Light.
That's something. You know why? Because he did all the work. Jesus Christ did all the work. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, we cease from our own works. See? And we believe on what he did. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. That's why we're free. We're free. We're free to walk with God. We're free to access our Heavenly Father because of the work Jesus Christ did. I don't have to spend my days or my hours trying to be good enough, trying to work, trying to do anything outside of except that which has been accomplished for me by my Lord Jesus Christ. Even when I fall short, even when I fail, I'm yoked with who? My Lord Jesus Christ. See? Isn't that something? And so I'm free. That's why it's easy. That's why it's light. See? To serve Christ, because we're going to serve something anyway. Romans 6 lays that one out. You're either going to serve the sin, that which came from Adam, or you're going to serve Christ. See, by way of that Spirit. That's our choice. People have this mistaken concept that, you know, serving Christ is somehow burdensome. Serving Christ is somehow... Boy, the adversary, you ever see such a thing where he just turns that thing around and ends up the opposite of what's true? See? It's mine, don't worry. Kind of neat. He finished it. I'm going to close in Romans 12. I know I shared this verse last week, but I thought it'd be neat to look at it again. Romans 12. And this is where we'll close. This is so awesome. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now again, I know I shared this last week, but you know this begins the practical application of what we've read in Romans. And Romans is that righteousness, which it's God's righteousness. It's the justice of God. It's the righteousness of God by believing on Jesus Christ. It's by believing on Jesus Christ and what he did. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, because of what he did and what he accomplished for us, you know, we continue reading in Romans. We're freed from the sin. We're made righteous. We're more than conquerors. All the wonderful things that are revealed. Romans 12:1 kicks off with, I beseech you therefore, because of these things that preceded, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies or yourselves a what? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And this living sacrifice means exactly what it says. Live. Live. Live what you are in Christ. Live what God's made you. You get better and better at it. You get better at taking the eyes off yourself and your own works and putting your eyes on what God's accomplished in Jesus Christ. Which is what verse 3 is addressing. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. But think according to what God's given in Christ. That's how we think. Isn't that something? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? We believe on Jesus Christ and we live. We live it. We live who we are. You know, and I know I said this last week, but it's so true. Boy, when we live like this, and we live who and what we are in Christ, you know, people are going to notice. They're going to notice. They're going to notice the freedom and the joy that you walk with. Because you're resting in what Jesus Christ has done. Not laboring in your own works. Do you see that? And I love that verse. Take my yoke upon you. Serve me. Come on over. The water's fine. It's easy. It's light. See? Beautiful. So, we got a good Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.